As you're being seated, man, I too want to welcome you to C3, and I'm so glad you're here today because I want to talk to you about something very special, something that is really on my heart, on my mind, constantly in my life. A while back, Nate was telling me about a time that he went to the zoo when he was living in Texas for a while, and they were there at the zoo, and it was a hot day, and so they went to the food court at the zoo. And they're sitting there in the shade at the food court, and they're eating whatever they bought at the food court. And all of a sudden, you know, as you're sitting there, they look out under the shade into the walkway, in the path. There are just masses of humanity walking by. The zoo's so crowded, and they're sitting there in the shade enjoying their food. And all of a sudden, this lady comes with a tray from the restaurant they bought food at the food court, offering samples. She's offering samples of what they're already eating. If you think about that, if that lady that worked for that restaurant offering the samples, instead of serving those who were already eating, if she had been willing to leave the shade and walk out about 15 or 20 feet into the heat where the masses of humanity were walking by that had not eaten yet, that they probably would have sampled it and that restaurant would have exploded that day with sales. And I think that's like a lot of churches. I think that's like a lot of followers of Jesus. We're sort of content to sit in the shade, eating our food or enjoying samples of the Savior, but not willing to step out of the shade, get into the heat a little bit, and invite people, offer the food to people that haven't eaten yet. In the life of C3, we want to be the kind of church that thinks about the masses of humanity that haven't eaten yet. And when you think about the church, this community of faith, the church is a table where people get fed. Now, this is not the only time you eat. You eat throughout the week, but just like sometimes you go to a restaurant, sometimes you eat at home. The church is a table where people get fed. You and I are responsible as followers of Jesus to feed ourselves, but we do come here expecting to get some sort of spiritual nourishment. And Jesus said in the book of John, "I am the bread of life." So apparently carbs are great. Because Jesus said, "I am the bread of life." It's the food we serve here. So when you think about the church being a table, I know that in the almost 29 years of marriage to Angie, over the years, we've invited a lot of people over for dinner. There's the invitation. And what's interesting is it didn't matter whether we were in a house over the years or an apartment or a townhome. Early on when I was in school and we had nothing, like we're having bread and that's it, bread and water, but you can come eat with us. It didn't matter where we lived, station of life. One thing I noticed, a majority of the time when we invited people to come eat with us, they came. Sometimes there was a scheduling conflict, so a particular day wouldn't work, but they would say, yeah, we'll come. The vast majority of the time when we invite people, they come. There's the invitation. It's part of what we need to be about as a church. We need to be inviting, you need to be inviting, I need to be inviting people to the table. So I've got a question for you today, and the question is simply this. Who do you know? Who do you know that needs to be invited to the table? Because God has placed you strategically in relationship. You don't live on the street you live on. You don't live in the building you live in. You don't live where you live by accident. The God of the universe, before you were born, knew that you would live there, and he knew who would live around you. You don't work where you work and sit next to who you sit next to. You don't go to class with who you go to class with. You're not on the team with who you're on the team with by accident. You and I are placed strategically in relationships, and there are people that I know, and there are people that you know. So the question is, who are you inviting? Who do you know that you can invite? You know what's interesting? In all the years of marriage with Angie, and she's an incredible host. She has the gift of hospitality. She is the hostess with the mostest. She does an amazing job. But in all the years, you know what's never happened? We have never been in our home about to sit down for dinner and someone knock on the door and say, "Hey, I'm here for dinner," that we didn't invite. Every person that has joined us for dinner over the years, we invited. So, who do you know? Easter is a month away. And Easter is like the Super Bowl for churches. And in my mind, Dallas plays at every one of them. But Easter is the Super Bowl for churches. Now, really, at C3, the way we roll, every Sunday is Super Bowl Sunday, because every Sunday is somebody's very first time. Every Sunday, somebody's giving church one more shot. Every Sunday, there's somebody that's broken, that's walking and thinking, if there is a God, maybe he can help me, and maybe these people will care about me. So every Sunday matters, but Easter is the Mac Daddy. Easter's the day. Did you know a vast majority of people, if you invite them, will come on Easter? So who do you know? Why is it such a big deal? I mean, who cares if they come to the table or not? Why is it such a big deal? It's very, very simple. Because hell is real. Hell is real. I'm not talking just about eternity. I mean, that's real. The Bible speaks about an eternity separated from God for people that don't have a personal relationship with Jesus. It's the whole reason Jesus came to the cross, so that we could know the Father in a personal way. And Scripture teaches that when this life is over, if you don't know Jesus in a personal way, if I don't know Jesus in a personal way and have a personal relationship, we spend forever separated from God. And it's a place of loneliness beyond anything we could ever imagine, and torment. The Scripture paints the picture. But hell is not only real after this life, there are a lot of people living in hell in this life. There are people whose marriages are hell. There are parents who've done everything they know to do and have no idea how to help their child that they desperately love, what to do next, and they're living in a kind of hell. There are people walking every single day in the hell of desperate loneliness. There are people living in the hell moment by moment of depression. See, who do you know matters, because hell is very, very real. And there are people you know, and there are people I know. Not just headed to hell someday, but living in hell right now. So who do you know? That could be helped, that could have their entire eternity changed and their today changed by a simple invitation. Who do you know? Jesus said, "My food is to do the will of him who sent me to finish his work." Jesus is the bread of life. We know that his work, Jesus said, "I came to seek and to save the lost." And what do we mean by lost? Lost is not just, I don't know how to get there. Lost is beyond that. Lost in a spiritual sense of, I have no idea how to get over my shame and my guilt and who I know myself to be to connect with a God who's perfect. I have no idea what to do about the areas of my life that I've messed up. I'm lost spiritually. I don't know how to connect with God. I've tried to pray. I've tried to be religious. I've tried to be a better person. I've made promises to myself that I've broken. I've made promises to God, if he's there, that I couldn't keep. There's no greater sense of lostness than being spiritually lost, because when you're spiritually lost, nothing makes sense. Now listen, as a follower of Jesus, I know Jesus, there are still things in life that don't make sense, but when you're lost, spiritually speaking, so many more things are just confusing and don't make sense. And you're living on earth separated from a God who loves you and who longs to know you in a personal way, who wants to forgive your sin and remove the shame, who wants to give you his Spirit to live inside you, to celebrate with you on the good days, and to carry you through the bad days. So the big deal to Jesus was helping people find their way to a relationship with God, which God initiates. So who do you know? If followers of Christ, the very idea that we call ourselves followers of Jesus implies that we follow the teachings of Jesus, we follow the example of Jesus, and Jesus was all about helping people connect with the Father in a personal way, who do you know? Because most people are just one invitation away from coming to the table. Did you know, not even on Easter, just next Sunday, 3 out of 4 people, according to research, if you invite them, 3 out of 4 people that don't go to church would come to church next Sunday. So there is the invitation. There is the time for us to step out of the shade and offer samples of the Savior to a starving world that hasn't eaten and that doesn't even know in many ways that it's possible to know God like that. There's not only the invitation. When it comes to the table, there's the preparation. There's the preparation. Years ago, Angie and I went to a very, very nice restaurant. We knew the general manager. He invited us to come out and check it out. I'm talking like stupid nice. Every single person at the table, no matter what size your party, had their own server. Not just a server for the table, a server for every person. If you dropped a little crumb, they'd get it off. I mean, they just took care of everything. The music in the background is beautiful, amazing restaurant. But as we were walking through, he's kind of showing us the building. The kitchen door came open. And the kitchen, there was a chaos like you've never seen. There were pots and pans banging. There were people screaming about what table needed what. There was an urgency and a hurriedness in the kitchen. It was wheels off kitchen chaos. The door shuts. Nice restaurant. Nice music. Tables decorated. Hey, can I just tell you, in the life of C3, every single week there's some kitchen chaos. This doesn't just happen. There's stuff that begins on Saturday with people setting up. There's an urgency about it. Sunday morning, there's a deadline. The clock's ticking. We've got to get everything in place. Being portable, there are things that go wheels off sometimes. That's why I'm so grateful for the people that serve and volunteer and make it happen week after week, that deal with the kitchen chaos. There's a preparation to this. This doesn't just happen. This doesn't just happen. I think about the intentionality of the preparation. Think about the parking lot greeters, people that will stand out there. And today they got a little break. God said, I'm going to give you some good weather. But in the future, listen, it's Orlando. They're going to be standing in hell, because hell is real, even in Orlando. It's hot. They're directing cars, and they do an amazing job. I hear about those days. Why don't you give it up for the parking lot guys? They do an incredible job. They put up with y'all, and listen, you know what we know? Some people don't like to be told where to park. Some people don't like to be told where to go. And sometimes you're having a bad day, and you're running behind, and you're driving, and they're smiling, trying to direct you, and you're angry, and you get upset with them. You even call them number one, but they still smile, and they love you, and they help you park, and it's fine. Then you come up, and you have the host and the greeters who do an amazing job of connecting people that are here the first time, because every Sunday is somebody's one more time. One last time. They come and they check in, and the check-in stations, you smile and you help them get their kids checked in if you have kids, and they go to Building 6 for preschool, or they go to the cafeteria for Powerhouse. You come in here and it's engaging. I think about the preparation that goes into what's taking place every single week, the stuff behind the scenes, the kitchen chaos that maybe you have no idea about, because we are serving the bread of life, because it matters. Not just today, but forever. Because it's desperately needed, and there are people that are starving. There's the preparation. You know, one thing I know, I've watched Angie over the years. Every good host thinks about the needs of their guest. If we're having somebody over, Angie will often have the conversation of, hey, do you have any allergies? The kids have any allergies? Is there anything y'all just really don't like? Anything you don't prefer? Everything in our home is about how the table's decorated, what the flowers are going to be, what music's playing on the Amazon Echo. It's all about the guest. By the way, you know what I've discovered? The Amazon Echo, I didn't know this, I learned this recently. The Amazon Echo records every conversation in your flipping house. Did you know that? I found it on my phone. I'm scrolling through conversations from years ago, conversations when the kids were home and we weren't. It's awesome. But you pick the music based on who's coming and what you think their preferences are. You know, when you clean your house because it's a Thursday and you need to clean it versus when you clean your house because you have guests coming, there's a different level of cleaning. Every good host thinks about the needs of their guests. And when it comes to the food is prepared with the guest in mind, but the family eats as well. And so it's no different in the life of C3. Listen, in the life of C3, everything we do in the preparation, we think about the guest. We think about the person coming for the first time. How we do what we do in the parking lot, listen, it is strategic. Sometimes churches like ours are accused of being watered down. In all the years of being with Angie, I've watched her pay close attention to the needs of the guest, but I've never eaten a meal she watered down. See, what happens is the food is prepared for the guest, but the family eats as well. Nobody in my home is starving. And you're not either. We will always put the needs of our guests over the preference of our family, because that's how we teach our kids to be unselfish. That's how we teach our family to be thoughtful of others. That's how we teach our kids that every single person you and I lock eyes with matters to God. And it's okay for me to set my preferences aside and honor the guest. It's important. So there's the invitation. There's the preparation. There's also the presentation. The presentation is how we do what we do, how it's laid out. The presentation is important. And so because in the life of C3, we have guests in mind. See, one of the things I've heard over the years as a pastor, I hear things sometimes, and often people, if they're going to critique you, have you noticed how even with you, people don't critique you face to face. They'll send you a text, or if they're bold, or if not, they'll just write something on social media that maybe applies to you and maybe it doesn't. You're not sure. Have you noticed that? One of the things over the years that I've heard as a pastor sometimes is, you know, C3 is kind of one of those shallow churches. They just kind of water things down and make it convenient for everybody. And I want to go deeper. I want to go deeper in my life. I'm not getting fed. Now, sometimes I look at people and I think in my mind, not getting fed, the heck you are. But in reality, I say that when I look in the mirror too. But in reality, the reality is, listen, if I wanted to come in and be smart daddy pastor, I could do that. If I wanted to come in and talk to you about the way we exegete passages and how to use hermeneutics and homiletics to determine the ecclesiological order of things, I could do that. Or I can just come in and say, hey, in the life of C3, we're going to let Bible interpret Bible. And so if we read a verse that's confusing, we're going to try to find other verses that help inform us as the context. We're going to look at the verses before and the verses after and see how God was inspiring the author to address what was going on in that culture. And one way that I could talk, you would not understand, and the other way you would. We're not watering down anything. We're just being very strategic in the presentation, because we want to make sure that people that don't know Jesus, don't know the Bible, don't know when we're supposed to stand up, when we're supposed to sit down, where we're supposed to walk, how we're supposed to look, what we're supposed to wear, we want to make sure they know that they are welcome. There have been people that I've invited to C3 that actually said to me, I didn't know I was allowed to come. I thought it was just for people that were members or part. I didn't know I could come. 86% of the people that live in Florida never go to church, not even Christmas or Easter. So I understand. I understand. There are other churches that do it differently. That's not my focus or my problem. In the life of C3, we are all about the invitation, the preparation, the presentation, because Jesus said, I am the bread of life. And the masses of humanity are hungry. And we have a responsibility to step out of the shade and step into what is sometimes uncomfortable and often inconvenient. Sometimes it's hotter there. And offer that bread. I remember as a kid growing up in Texas, we would often go to my great-grandmother's house. She was alive when I was little. She lived to be close to 100. We called her Mamaw. And we would go to Sweeney, Texas, and I still remember as a little kid pulling in the driveway and hearing the shell crunch under the tires and smelling the bread. She made these rolls. I don't know what she put in them. I don't know if it was crack cocaine. I don't know how she made the rolls, but she made these rolls. It's like, oh my gosh. In fact, it's so bad. I remember as a little kid, just being honest, thinking, she's old and she's going to die soon. Who's going to make the rolls? I mean, honestly, it just smelled so good. You know, I've never been anywhere where bread was being baked that the fragrance didn't draw me in. See, I think when the bread of life is what's served instead of our preferences, I think when the bread of life is what's served as we keep the guest in mind, I think when the bread of life is what's served, there is an aroma that draws people in. And if you've been to a church somewhere where what was happening didn't draw you in, where the aroma wasn't compelling and didn't pull you in, I don't know what they were cooking, but it wasn't the bread of life. Because Jesus has a way of knowing exactly where you are, and in the Bible says that we are drawn to him by his loving kindness. Jesus has a way that even though he knows how messed up you are and how messed up I am, that he has this compelling way that is compassionate to draw us in and bring us to himself. It's the bread of life. So, who's at the table? It's important. Who's at the table? I think my role as pastor is I'm the chef. And so if you've been somewhere that to a church that it was sort of a half-baked product, that's not God's fault, it's the chef's fault. I think as pastor, I'm the chef. And then in this first chair, chair number one, is people who don't know God in a personal way. The first chair is people who don't know God in a personal way. Chair one is for the guests. And I just need to tell you, in the life of C3, I don't know how it's been, maybe if you've been somewhere else, or maybe a church you grew up in the life of C3, this is the chair that matters the most. This is the chair that keeps us awake at night. This is the chair that every single thing we do is thought through. Who's going to sit in this chair? This chair is for the honored guest. Oh, I thought that was Jesus. I thought Jesus. No. Jesus, this is his house. The honored guest is people who don't know him. And everything about what we do keeps that in mind. And listen. Maybe you haven't thought about this lately, but if you're a new follower of Jesus and you're at C3, or maybe you're here this morning and you're a guest at C3, maybe it's your very first time at C3, listen, we've thought about you. If you've been at C3 a long time, at some point you were in this chair. We've thought about you. And one thing I can promise you, you will never understand the church until you bring someone to sit in this chair. You will never understand why we do what we do, the intentionality behind it, why the kitchen chaos is okay. You'll never understand why we function the way we do, why Chasen chooses the songs for our worship team the way he does, why they function the way they do on the platform, why the ushers and hosts function. You'll never understand it. I love inviting people. It's one of my favorite things to do. I do it all the time. But you know what it does? When I invite and when you invite, it holds us accountable to the vision of this church. Because when you invite somebody, you better believe you're thinking about the parking lot that day. You're thinking, man, I hope these guys, I hope they're paying attention. I hope they're doing well. I hope they're smiling. When they get out of the parking lot, as they're walking up, you're thinking about the host. You're thinking about the greeters. You're hoping that as your guest, your friend that you invited is coming, you hope that the greeters aren't standing in a little holy huddle talking to each other, because the only thing you see in a huddle are a bunch of butts. You hope that they turn and that they're actually greeting people that are coming up. You better believe if you invited somebody, you're thinking about if they have children, what children's check-in is going to be like. You're thinking about what the kids are going to learn when they're in preschool or in Powerhouse. You're thinking about where people that serve, if they're there on time and showing up today, you better believe when they come in this room, you're hoping we sing things they understand. You're hoping I talk in a way that they understand the language we're talking about. Listen, it is critically important. When you don't invite people, you'll never understand this chair. But when you invite people, it keeps you connected to the mission that is primary for us. Now, you might say, does that mean you're not a church for believers? Oh, no. We are a church for believers. We're a church for believers that want to be a part of a vision of reaching people for Jesus. We're a church for believers that want to be a part of this chair being the main chair and helping us fulfill that vision. We're about that all day long. If you're new to the area or you're a Christ follower, you've moved to this area and you want to be a part of a church, if you want to be a part of a church that is relentlessly, passionately going after people that feel far from God so that they can know his love, absolutely you're welcome here. Just please understand, we're all about chair one. Because there are some people who say they love Jesus, and there are some people in churches who say they believe, oh, we need to reach people. Listen, when you set the dial in the life of a church to reaching people and going after people far from God, all hell breaks loose. All heaven breaks loose too. But all hell breaks loose because there are people who are professional Christians. Have you ever met them? You ever known a professional Christian? The kind of people who come in and critique and evaluate and think that every church should be the way they want it. And I've often wondered, why don't you just go start a church then? Probably because nobody would come and you don't want to admit that. But professional Christians, I call them UFOs, uncommitted freeloading objects. And over the years, we've had a few at C3. These are the people that will come for a while and they come from other churches, and they're not really a part of the vision of going after the people that are going to sit in chair one. They come and, oh, I love the music. I wish we could just have, could we maybe just have music the whole time? And maybe if everybody would dress a little more modestly, you need to dress like I dress. I don't think that's appropriate for church. You need to get that cleaned up before you come to church. And listen, I think y'all should really consider doing it like this. And they want the church to conform to them. Listen, one of the things I've learned, people that leave churches, leave churches. There will be people over the years that will come to be a part of what we're doing, but not to really be a part of the vision. And they will come and go, and that's fine. Don't get mad at them. Jesus loves them. Sometimes I think he struggles with liking them, but he loves them. But it's okay. Listen, it's okay. That's not our focus. Our focus is, who do you know? Because chair one is the chair. Who do you know? Well, I want to be a part of a deeper church. I want to be a part of a church that goes deep. You know what you say when you're saying that? I know what you mean. I've heard people over the years say, I want to go deeper than C3. It's kind of shallow. I want to be part of a deep church. I just need to go deeper in my faith. I've asked God several times this morning if I should say this, and so far he said yes every time. I want to go deeper. No, what you would prefer, if that's what you would say, is I want to go to a place that shares abstract principles that I don't have to do anything about my life. I don't have to go home and treat my wife better. I can get all up stuck in my head and think about theology and have to do nothing with it. And I don't have to be motivated to invite my neighbor. And I don't have to be challenged to give God the first 10% of my income. And I don't have to do any of those hard things. I can just go sit and hear lofty thoughts and not have to do anything with it. You want to go deeper? Listen. Everything, the deepest churches in the world are the churches that think about the first chair. The deepest churches in the world are churches that are on rescue missions, because rescue missions happen in the deep. That's where they happen. The deepest thing you can do is set aside your preferences and say, I want to be a part of a church that is going hard and strong after people that don't know God, because hell is real. There's nothing deeper you can do. Chair one. We're all about chair one. Chair one is for people who don't know Jesus personally. Chair two is for people that are new to faith in Christ, people that have fresh faith, people that have recently come and they've committed their lives to Christ on a Sunday morning, or maybe a friend shared with them at work or in the neighborhood and they committed their lives to Christ. They're coming, they're new. They don't know much theology. They don't know much Bible. Hey, that's okay. All they know is, I can't believe God loves me. But I finally am able to trust that he does, and I've surrendered my life to Christ. I've committed my life to Christ. My sins have been forgiven. That's really all I know. Man, that is an awesome thing. In any healthy Acts chapter 2 New Testament church, about one-third of the people, I believe, will be people that don't know Jesus yet. And then about one-third of the people will be people that have recently crossed the line of faith and committed their lives to Christ. And then there's the third chair. The third chair is the spiritual parent or spiritual parents. See, there's a healthy ecosystem that takes place in an Acts chapter 2 New Testament church where people that don't know Jesus are constantly invited to the table, and they come, and then as they come, they surrender and commit their lives to Christ at some point. And then as they grow, they go through puberty, which is often awkward, and they become teenagers, which are often selfish. But as they grow, they mature into spiritual parents. And I just need to say, the spiritual parents are the people that serve. The spiritual parents are the people that invest financially. The spiritual parents are the people that invite. Without the spiritual parents, C3 would not even exist. I am so grateful to those of you that get it and get the vision, and you invest financially and you pray for people, you invite people, you serve. You are spiritual parents. Often pastors call me and say, hey, tell me what's happening at C3. How are you doing what you're doing? And every time the answer is very, very easy. Hey, it's the people who volunteer in the life of C3. It's the spiritual parents who invest in C3 and invite people. All that's happened, 418 people gave their lives to Jesus last year because of you, the people that sit in this seat. The spiritual parents. The Bible says in Hebrews, therefore let us move beyond the elementary teachings about Christ and be taken forward to maturity, to people who are mature in their faith. Now, I could have walked on this platform and I could have said, hey, I'm mature. I'm bald. I'm 47 years old. I got 4 kids, 4 grandkids, 2 dogs. One I claim, the other I ignore. I've been alive a long time, been married almost 29 years. I could sell that. And you would think, why are you telling us that? Like, we know. We know a little bit about your family. We can look at you and tell you're mature. You certainly don't look 47, but you're mature. We can tell. When you're mature, you don't have to announce it. You live it. You've met religious people that wanted you to know how mature they were. Rolls Royce doesn't advertise because everybody knows it's a Rolls. When you're mature, you don't have to announce it. You just live it. You just be who God created you to be. And so there's this ecosystem that takes place in the life of a healthy church where the chef serves the bread of life and people come because people are being invited to the table. And at some point, they commit their lives to Christ. And they're new to faith. And then as they grow and they learn to not be selfish and they learn to be a part of also inviting and serving, that they begin to grow and giving and become spiritual parents. And then spiritual parents continue to invite. And it's a beautiful picture of what happens in the church. I think about James, the brother of Jesus, who said, do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. So who do you know? Who do you know that if you don't invite them to Easter at C3, they probably won't come? Yeah, we do Facebook ads, billboards, we do mailings, we have the magnets. Oh my gosh, I think the magnets have the favor of God on them. I hear about the magnets. I saw a magnet, that's how I came, I saw a magnet. We do all of that stuff, but there's nothing at all that we can do that replaces the personal invitation that you will give a friend. Nothing. There's one more chair. I forgot about this. One more chair. And I have no idea where they put it. One more chair I forgot about. There's the high chair. Now, I love the high chair. We have 4 grandkids, and it's fun to feed them. And I'm one of those people, I don't know about you, I'm one of those people that they can make a mess, but I don't want that stuff on me. I'll have to go take 4 or 5 showers. I'm like that, and sometimes they'll get so messy. I'll tell Angie, look, you got to take this. I got to go take a shower. It's not even on me, but I just can't stand it. But I love hanging out with them. I love what happens in the high chair because this is where growth and nourishment is supposed to happen. The only way I would not love the high chair is if my grandkids were still in it when they were in their 20s and 30s and 40s. See, there's a process that happens in a healthy church where I come and I don't know Jesus, but I meet him. And then I begin growing and I become a spiritual parent. There's a process. But there's some people periodically stuck in churches that just get stuck there. That they get stuck in the high chair. The high chair people are the me, 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 feed me, feed me. What about me? What about me? I want it this way. I want it that way. Me, me, me. And they throw fits and they throw food and their diapers stink and they sit in it. I said, sit in it. And the temptation, just to be honest with you, the temptation for every chef, every pastor, is when the fit starts taking place to turn and give all your attention. Oh my gosh, please don't be upset because you give. Please don't leave because you give. Please don't leave and put anything negative on social media. Oh my gosh, we'll do whatever. We'll stop feeding you carrots and we'll start feeding you banana food. Baby banana food is pretty dadgum good. We'll switch it up. Oh my gosh, whatever you want, whatever you want. Here's the problem. The moment, as a pastor, the moment as a leader in the church that you give all of your attention to the whiner, you have turned your back on the rest of the table and you're telling the world to go to hell. Hey, I hope you understand. In the life of C3, I'm not turning my back on the table. You're not turning your back on the table. In the life of C3, we are all about and will always be all about the first chair. That is who we are. That is the reason we exist, connecting the community with Christ. So I just have to ask you, who do you know? Maybe you've never invited before. That's fine. Did you know this? Listen, this is not a beat yourself up, you should have been inviting. No. Even God knows you can't go back in time. Even God knows I can't go back in time. I'm so grateful for grace in the areas where I mess up. But then when God brings it to my attention, I'm responsible to do something with it. So who are you going to invite this year? There's a passage in the New Testament. It's one of my favorite. Mark chapter 2, the Bible says, a few days later, when Jesus again entered Capernaum, and the people heard that he'd come home, they gathered in such large numbers that there was no room left, not even outside the door, and he preached the word to them. Some men came, bringing to him a paralyzed man carried by four of them. Since they could not get him to Jesus because of the crowd, they made an opening in the roof above Jesus by digging through it and then lowered the mat the man was lying on. And if you read the rest of the story, Jesus heals the man, not just physically, but spiritually. Are you that kind of friend? Those people who are paralyzed in loneliness, paralyzed with how life has treated them, paralyzed in a marriage that they have no idea how to make better, paralyzed because of the betrayal they've walked through, paralyzed because of relationships that used to be there that aren't anymore, paralyzed because they feel like a failure as a parent, paralyzed because they're young and they look into a great big world and they're terrified of the future. Who do you know? Who do you know that you will not let anything stop you from inviting? It's an awkward conversation for some, but it's very simple. Hey, listen, this morning we're going to give you some inviters for Easter. We're going to start this week. And it's very simple. You just take one out and say, hey, man, I go to C3. We're having a free Easter event. I love C3. I think you will too. Just try it once. Took a few seconds. Very simple. And you combine that with everything that we're going to be doing from mailers, things like that. Who do you know? Don't let anything stop you. They got there and there was a crowd. It would have been very easy to say, oh, well, sucks to be you. But they didn't let it stop them. No matter what the obstacle was, they said, hey, we've got to do whatever it takes to get our friend to Jesus. Man, can you imagine what would happen if we all did that? Can you imagine what would happen in your home and what you would teach your kids about the importance of the fact that God loves every single person you and I lock eyes with? That's not just a phrase. You put life to that phrase when you invite people that God loves, that you might be the one God has placed you strategically in relationship. So who do you know? Because hell is real. And because people are paralyzed in our culture. I want to ask the ushers to come. You were handed a card as you came in, and a pen. If you didn't get a card or a pen, please raise your hand. They'll give you one very quickly. If you're a part of C3, I want to ask you to do something. I want to ask you to answer the question, who do you know? If today is your first time with us, or you're new to C3, you've only been a few times, please don't feel obligated to participate. You're welcome to, but please don't feel like you have to. No judgment here. But if you're a part of C3, I want to encourage you to put the names of one or two or three or five or 10 people on this card that you know that you're going to say, man, I'm going to do everything I can to invite them to Easter. I'm going to do everything I can to get these people here for Easter. And it's up to them whether or not they accept the invitation, but these are the people I'm going to be inviting. And here's why I'm asking you to do this. Because the staff and I will be praying for these names every single day between now and Easter. Every day we're going to be praying for these people by name. Because hell is real. And because many of them are paralyzed. And the way that they're going to experience the love of God is through you. So who do you know? Who do you know? Just write those names down, and then in just a moment, we're going to stand and we're going to sing. And because in the life of C3, chair one is the chair, I'm going to ask you to bring those cards and lay them right here. Right here. And then if you come to these side tables, there's one over here, one over there. There will be packets of inviters on these tables. So you drop your card off of the names of people you're going to pray for. And then you swing by one of these tables on either side and grab a packet of inviters. And know that I am praying for you. You heard me mention, last year, 418 people gave their lives to Jesus at C3 on Sunday mornings. We are closing in on 2,000 people overall that have committed their lives to Jesus. But I believe and I know that God wants to do that again. And if we all do this, God can do so much more. And peoples forever will be changed because you said yes to something a little awkward maybe, to something a little scary maybe, to something that might feel a little bit uncomfortable, but you said yes. Father, I pray for every single person in this room right now. God, I pray that as we stand in a moment, as we come and drop off these cards, as we pick up the inviters, God, I pray that you would just be all over that. I pray for your peace, and I pray for blessings on people who are going to be inviting. God, I pray that you would bring names to mind, that we'd be intentional as we walk through our weeks inviting people. Because the only thing that's going to matter 100 years from now is who's with us in heaven. So, Father, may we be the church. May we invite to the table. You have saved thousands through the life of C3. And, Father, it's our simple prayer that you would do it again and do it in a bigger way. Move mountains, remove obstacles. Help us to help people that are paralyzed and bring them to faith in you. God, we're asking you to do that. In Jesus' name, amen.